Vyasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Buddham Dhammam Sangham Namassami.
What is Dhamma? That's a big question. In the Buddha's teaching, Dhamma is not a god. It's not a person. It's pointing to that which is true. And it isn't truth based on opinions, but it's a truth, a realization, an understanding of things as they really are, and not what we think. Dhamma is not something that we know by thinking. And you can read about the Dhamma, but that's an idea. And so Dhamma could be just an idea, but what the Dhamma actually points to is more than an idea. It's reality. It's the way nature, true nature, it's not about the world, but it's about the moral awakening, a realization of purity, absolute purity of consciousness. And it isn't my consciousness or your consciousness. It's not describable. That's why we have to wake up to it. And when people write about the Dhamma, then some people will write about it one way and some people will write about it another way. But none of it can describe what the Buddha woke up to, because he didn't speak about the Dhamma in ways that you could write about it. You can just write about what brings us to the Dhamma. So that's why we sit here and turn off the volume. And we sit quietly. By sitting quietly, it's stopping our thoughts and being present. And the more we're able to be present, the more we can hear properly or open the heart truly so that we can feel that which is true. It's not an idea, it's just a knowing. And we come to know that when the mind becomes very pure. Purity of heart, purity of consciousness leads to a purity of knowing this moment, this present moment. No future, no past, no person, no body, nobody. That's why we're called nuns. Nobody, nothing. So it points to that which is empty. And how can you describe what is empty? You can only know it by emptying out all our ideas and being the witness. Not even when you say that, being a witness, you think that's some kind of a person, right? So words are very inadequate to describe this. But when we don't speak, then the elements part and we enter a different dimension, which is not earth, air, water, and fire anymore. It's just the knowing of things as they are. So we have to be so silent. And usually we're too noisy. We come expecting the Dhamma to appear, but it won't appear. If we stop wanting, we may begin to know something of that. You could call it unconditional love. How do you describe that? It's just when emptiness is empty and fullness is full, it's the axis mundi where they meet. How do you describe that? When the wings of a butterfly in the forests of Perth connect to the buzzing of a bee in China, how do you describe that? What is that connection? It's just the reality of our true nature. It doesn't appear through the sense world or thinking. It cannot be known with eyes or heard with ears or tasted or smelled or thought about. But when we're absolutely still and present, then we become aware intuitively of that which is, and just that isness, that beingness, opens the heart to this reality. This is what human beings have wanted to know forever, but rarely found a way to know. And those that have investigated deeply have managed to know in this pure way and this pure presence that we can realize. Until you realize it, how can you speak about it? So we try to be silent in the right way and listen in a way that conduces to that openness of the heart. We come to the heart surrendering with a lot of love and compassion, with gratitude, with joy, with faith that there is this kind of knowing. And it's the truest peace. There's no wanting in that. There's nothing to get. It's a deep state of freedom from wanting, freedom from suffering, with no more squirming, no more agitating. I need this, I need that. Because it's a selfless approach. So there's no more division, no divisibility. And that's really quite miraculous, because if we go outward into space, it's immeasurable. It doesn't end. Scientists are still trying to measure it, but it's just inconceivable. But the same is true if you go inward. If you go into the mind or into the awareness, into the consciousness, whatever ability we have to be conscious, be aware of the boundless state of mind, then you don't have to go to space to know that it's infinite. You just go in. So when we travel inward and we purify enough to be empty and sustain it, then that conscious awareness is immeasurable. It encompasses all of whatever is there. So it's like we disappear, we enter into that There's no you, no me, no I, no anyone. Just that true essence that is truth itself. The summum bonum, the ultimate joy, the ultimate beauty. But it's not beautiful, it's nothing. It's empty. Because it's empty, there are no qualities we can describe, but perhaps when we try to think about these things or speak about them, we use whatever superlative we can conjure up. That's peace. Ultimate peace. We do want that. We want that kind of freedom. But there's a lot of obstacles to know that. And yet, there are many times in our life when we can know it. We can know. We call that Dhamma. People speak about God, and they say, do you believe? But Dhamma is not something you can believe in. You could say, you can know that. Because we're talking about the supreme truth. So, when people personify God, they might be speaking about a similar experience, but they haven't had that. So they start to humanize it. When you humanize it, it becomes rather trivial because it's far from what is possible for us as humans. And that essence is what we truly are. We're not separate from it, but we're alienated from it by wanting, by ignorance, by greed, hatred, and delusion. So that's the project. I refer to it sometimes, if one has to have a word, rather than God, I would call it Godness. We can know Godness. But it's not like people say, you're going to go to heaven. It's not a place. There may be many heavens. The Buddha talked about many kinds of heaven. But the Dhamma is not heaven. It's beyond. If we're not morally pure, then heaven may not last. But those are concepts. This is a good realm for waking up in, because it's based on suffering, this waking up. If we don't study suffering, then if we only have pleasure, it's not going to happen. Unless we're already highly evolved and we're not attached to the pleasure. Because once we get attached to the sense world, there's no opportunity to wake up because we're bound by the sense world and we have the ego binding us to understand, to really know the Four Noble Truths, to understand suffering and to understand its origin and the way to ending it. We have to suffer. You can't get rid of suffering just by sheer endurance or willpower. It's through wisdom, through this intuitive realization, to waking up to what suffering really is. And so to end our suffering, we have to understand the origin of it. And suffering is based on our ignorance and our inability to understand what we truly are. And we were born into a sense realm where it's very difficult to realize the way to free ourselves from suffering. But there is a transcendent realization that we can know, and that would help us to understand suffering. And so to end our suffering, we have to understand the origin of it. So it maybe even becomes more complicated and more challenging when things become too comfortable. Because you start get used to it. It's very easy for us to fall back into wanting and being greedy about how good it is when you get your favorite food in your bowl. But really, that's not important. It should be helpful to our health. That's wisdom. When you follow the Dhamma, you keep precepts, you develop stillness in the mind, and you realize what we really are or what we're not, then you get a lot of energy from that. And that energy can lead to kindness with awareness, with right effort, right mindfulness, right action, right speech. The Eightfold Noble Path leads only to Nibbana. It leads only to enlightenment. It's not that you can only get enlightenment through Buddhism. No. It's any path that has these ingredients in it leads to that kind of supreme knowledge. And it gives us this pure, pure energy to sit, do the work, and check on the groundhog. And then we have joy, beautiful joy.